here in our own backyard, like you just heard this morning. And I'm just thankful to be a part of a community of believers that really put sharing the gospel and helping people grow and be healed, be fed, be clothed, to put that first. And so Jerry, I'm sure, will be out in the foyer if you want to talk to him about the ministry they do there. And huge need, and they're meeting a great need here in the city of Jacksonville, and I'm thankful that we could be a part of that. And just to take that time earlier and get together and pray. I know for some of you, especially if you're new here, it might be a little bit awkward to gather together like that. But really, here at Emmaus, we don't want to do church. We don't want to just come and show up and sing songs and hear an okay message and say, you know, good message, Pastor, and then leave and just be disconnected from that. We really want to be the family of God, living out the mission of God together. And so we need to be connected in different ways. We need to know what's going on in one another's lives and be praying for one another. We have life groups that you can connect with. Now it's up to you to take a step into that. They're in the bulletin on the left-hand side. You can get engaged in a life group and grow with some people. There's some different ministries you can connect with. But we just don't want to be a people who come together one day a week and then don't think about each other, see each other for a full week, and then come back together and just do that. That's religion. That's something very different than what the Scripture tells us. The Scripture tells us about a God who is there. As we read a couple of weeks ago, Paul says in Acts 17 that this God does not dwell in houses built by human hands. Okay, so he doesn't dwell in places like this. So just so you know, like this room that we're in, this is not the sanctuary, okay? If you look up at the ceiling, it's a gymnasium, okay? There's basketball hoops that come down. If you stay here for 15 minutes after service, there'll be kids shooting baskets. This is not the sanctuary. God doesn't dwell in houses built by human hands. He dwells in the hearts and in the lives of his people. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians to say, we are the temple of his Holy Spirit. Our body is the temple of his Holy Spirit. And I don't want to get into re-preaching what I talked about last week, but if you weren't here, maybe you want to listen to that because it talks about God's presence with us all through the Scripture. And so we talked about waking up to that and understanding that. And in Colossians 1, 26 to 27, just as a bit of review, let me read this. Paul said, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it's been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. Paul's saying, okay, this wasn't understood fully until now, but the good news of Jesus was never for one group of people. Was never intended to just be for the Jews. In fact, if you remember, when God made his promise to Abraham way back in the book of Genesis, he says, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to all nations. And he was talking about the coming of Christ. And so the Messiah, when the Messiah came, and the Jews were thinking about this physical deliverance that he was going to bring them from Rome, that he was going to deliver them, in their minds it was something in the here and now and physical, but God's plan all along was for the spiritual deliverance that the Messiah would bring to all people. Anyone who would come to him and turn to him could be saved. And so Paul goes, this message is that's been kind of kept hidden that no one really understood until now is this, that everybody's included. It's for Gentiles too. And Christ living in you, that's the hope that you have of glory. That's the assurance that you have. And that's something that everyone can receive. And so last week, we went through a number of scriptures that talked about this, that Christ lives in me. Paul went as far as to say, my old self is dead, and now I'm raised to new life in Christ. And so it means for me and for you that if that is true, that God's Spirit comes and lives inside of us when we put our faith in Jesus, that means that life-changing things can happen in me, and through me, and around me at any time. And we should be aware of that, and we should turn to God at different moments, not just moments we come together on Sunday morning, we sit in circles and pray together, but remember that he is with you. And Jesus promised, like, I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. So when we find ourselves in those darkest moments, we're all there once in a while, Remember that in the darkest moment when you feel like, God, where have you gone? He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. This idea that you're abandoned by God or somehow separated from God is a lie from the enemy to distract you from the truth that God's with you. And he's just waiting for you to turn to him. And he desires to reveal himself to us. And sometimes he does that in miraculous ways. Like I had a guy, someone share with me recently about, had been struggling just with being really dry in his faith, really dry in just his spiritual times with God. And last week talking about the idea that Jesus wants to live, or he does live inside of us, and that we can turn to God at any moment. And just in the past week, God did something in his heart that he would say, and I would say, is just miraculous. He kind of woke him up. That's what we talked about last week, right? If you weren't here, we talked about being woke and being lit. All right, now you can go back and listen to the message. I'm not going to re-preach it like I said, but John wrote in 1 John, he said, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men and women, and God wants to bring us that light. But see, we need to be aware of the fact that he desires for us to be present with him. He's here. Sometimes we're so distracted that we're not here, and so we need to wake up a little bit. And so I want to share with you just something that God has shown me that's helped me to kind of wake up, okay? And to me, this is like very simple, but it's 30 seconds or a minute that you can give to God a day that can literally change your life, okay? It's real simple. When I get up in the morning, this is what I try to do, okay? And I'm, let's just pray together. I'm going to show you what I try to do every morning before I even get out of bed, okay? So let's pray. God, thank you for another day. Thank you for the breath that's in my lungs. Thank you for a life and an opportunity to live for you. God, it's a gift, and I'm grateful for it. And I pray that by your Spirit, you'd wake me up today to what you're doing around me. Your word says you love me. Your word says you're with me. God, keep me aware of that. Help me to connect with you and with the people around me. And God, I pray that you would use me today somehow for your glory and remind me that I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And God, I just thank you and I praise you for who you are. You're so good. I thank you for your grace and mercy in my life. Help me to live for you today in Jesus' name. Amen. And it doesn't always sound like that, and it's different but each day, but it's as simple as just acknowledging today's a gift. He's with me. He lives in me. He wants to work through me. And, you know, I try to do that before my feet hit the floor. I don't bat 1,000. I don't do it every morning, but I try to. And I'm going to tell you, it just does something, because Paul writes in Ephesians, he goes, don't get drunk on wine as some people do, okay? Some of you just need to hear that, right? Okay, don't get drunk on wine as some people do. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you read the Greek, it's be being filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Because we're like this bottle, and when it's full, and we're full, picture being full and full of the Spirit of God, we walk through life, and sometimes life gets in the way, and life distracts us. And as life distracts us, we let things in that capture our heart. And when we put things, if I put things in this bottle, sooner or later, the water's going to start being dispersed, right? And it's going to be pushed out by all the stuff that I put in there. And I just say that's kind of like life. And we let these things in that distract us and really push us away from God. And he goes, you need to be being filled. You need to be continually being filled with the Spirit. And it's as simple as saying, God, fill me, wake me up, use me. I want to be used for your purposes today. So we need to wake up to his presence. Now, I'm going to walk us through a passage in 2 Timothy, and we're gonna begin in verse 1. But before it comes on the screen, I just want to remind us, the grace that's been extended to us, the good news of the gospel, is that God came, he died for the sins of the world, he died so that we might have life, have it to the full, and experience that. But not just to be selfish and experience it, but to share that with the people around us. There's this word in church that a lot of us find scary or maybe even repulsive at times, but it's called evangelism. okay? So this word evangelism, when I throw that out there, like when I talk about evangelism, some of you grew up in the Baptist church, and it meant one thing. Maybe it meant that on Sundays after service, you would go and knock on people's doors who maybe filled out a visitor card, and you would share the gospel with them. Or maybe for some of you, when you hear evangelism, you think about a person handing out tracts, or the man and the woman on the street corner yelling at people about God. This word evangelism conjures things up in your mind and in your heart. It's different for all of us because we all have a different story. We have a different history. So what I want to do this morning is I want to set you free from some of the stigma of evangelism, the need to evangelize, okay? Evangelism is not a word that's used in the Bible. God never tells us to evangelize people. And I'm not going to tell you to evangelize people. I want to set you free from the burden of having to do that. Now, before you call me a heretic or pick up stones and get ready to stone me, like, Vic, what are you talking about? Aren't we supposed to share our faith? There's a difference between sharing your faith and what some of us know as evangelism. And so what I want us to do is to think about what the scripture says, all about this grace and this good news that Jesus died, that he rose from the dead. He sent his spirit to live inside me. I can have new life. I can be woken up to what he's doing around me. And then he says, share that with people. Share that good news with people. He didn't say go knock on doors and hand out tracts. He didn't say, you know, get those 4 points and make sure you know how to share those 4 points, and then you can end and close in this thing we call the sinner's prayer, which is never in the Bible, and you can just get people to be saved by saying this magical prayer. Some of us grew up like that's how we get people saved. That's what you do. It's nowhere in the Bible. Jesus never did anything like that. He left us with this command: go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them what I taught you. Share what you've learned. And tell them about the good news of the kingdom. Tell them about the good news of the kingdom. I mean, it's supposed to be good news, and we're supposed to willingly share it. So as Paul is writing to Timothy, we're going to walk through a passage in 2 Timothy. I'm going to try to do this rather quickly, but it's just one where Paul is sharing with him, and he's telling him about how proud he is of him and his, where he's at in his faith and how he's sharing that. And I think it will speak to us about this idea of sharing the love of God with the people around us. 2 Timothy 1, verses 5 to 7. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. See, Timothy, I know your faith is real. It's the same faith that your mother had. It's the same faith that your grandmother had. And don't forget the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. We don't know what that is. Maybe he just experienced the Holy Spirit in that moment. Maybe that's when he was initially filled with the Spirit. But Paul goes, don't forget that. Fan that into flame. And then he says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. This idea of like sharing what I've found, sharing my faith with someone, sharing Jesus with someone, it shouldn't be something that we're fearful of. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. So talking to someone about this Jesus who set me free and saved me and gave me eternal life shouldn't be something that I fear. It should be something that gives me life, actually, and I enjoy doing. And some of us go, well, I don't know that I know enough of the Bible, Vic. And, you know, it's not about how much you know. It's about who you know. Like, do you really have this real, living, breathing relationship with God? Like, you talk to him and you believe that he will answer in some way, and it's a two-way communication. Some people are afraid to talk to people, particularly who don't believe in God. Like, if you know someone who's an atheist, and you think, man, I just don't even know what to say. I don't have answers to their questions. And I just tell you, I really enjoy talking to people who don't believe in God. People who are atheists, not because I have the answer to every one of their questions, not because I can win the argument, but because simply I know that their life is not full I know there's something missing. I know this Jesus who revealed himself to me, and I don't care what they come at me with any kind of anything from science or any questions they have, none of that can change what I know and who I know. And so I can sit and just get to know them and share this love with them. It's really that simple. But really, it's the getting to know them part that we struggle with. Like, this thing about evangelism, the one thing great about handing out tracts is, man, I just hand that thing out and I walk away. And it's like, in some ways, it's easy. You get past the fear and intimidation and, you know, you just hand that thing out and you walk away. And, oh, you did your job. Check the box. Good job. Good Christian. But Jesus didn't work like that. He got to know people. He even, when he was on his way to do important things, like he was going to Jerusalem, he knew he was going to be crucified, and he's walking through a crowd, and a lady grabs him, and she's healed. Like, instead of just keeping going, he stops. Who touched me? And he takes a moment, and then he talks to her, and he heals her. I mean, he took time. And, you know, so this thing that we have called evangelism, sharing your faith and sharing the love of God with people, it takes time. And it takes loving people through their stuff, no matter how bad it might be. So getting to know them and sharing the love of God that you know, but you need to know it first. I mean, you need to experience this. And once you've experienced the relationship with God, then you have something to share. Look at verses 8 and 9. Paul continues on to Timothy. He says, "So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life, and he did this not because we deserved it, because that was his plan before the beginning of time to show his grace through Christ Jesus." So, never be ashamed to tell others about Jesus, but don't be hindered by thinking you got to do it a certain way or you got to please someone in doing it. See, God is good. We sang about that in that last song. I mean, God is good. And he wants the world to know of his love. And if we've experienced that, we have something to share his goodness with them. And I love the fact that Paul actually decides to kind of go there in this next statement, okay? He goes, don't be ashamed to share with people about Jesus. And then he says, and don't be ashamed of me either. All right, don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm in prison. Like, he's going, I know this doesn't look good for the team, okay? Like, you know, Team Jesus is supposed to be victorious. You know, Team Jesus, we pray he gives us what we want. You know, Team Jesus always gives us victory this side of heaven. You know, you might hear that preached from some people. Paul goes, don't ever be ashamed to share about Jesus, and don't be ashamed about me, even though I'm in prison, even though I'm suffering. And the next part is kind of a bummer to some of us. He goes, it's kind of part of the deal. You know, like, it's kind of part of the deal. Like, Jesus, he suffered brutally. He died. He resurrected. But there was suffering. Paul, he suffered. Man, you read through Paul's life. I mean, he suffered greatly. All the apostles died as martyrs. Like, suffering's part of the deal, folks. He goes, don't be ashamed. Now, if you're preaching a different gospel, you're going to be ashamed of that. Because if you're telling people, you know, God wants your life to be great, and he wants you to have your best life now, and everything should be just the way you desire to have it, and you just claim it in Jesus' name, well then, yeah, man, then you don't talk about Paul suffering. You don't want to tell people about that. Like, yeah, sometimes it can be bad. Sometimes you can be real sick. Sometimes you might even die, right? That's just the reality of it. So how do you deal with those things? The reality is, it's not that you have victory always this side of heaven. The reality is, Paul's not suffering alone. He's the same guy who said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I mean, the Spirit has given me new life. And so I'm not ashamed of where I'm at and what's going on. And you shouldn't be either. God is good, even in the midst of trials. God is good. So Paul's like, be ready to suffer. Look at verse 9. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. So he saved us and he called us to live for him. But it's not because we were good or somehow we deserved it. It was his plan. But if it's not a guarantee of good things in this world, I got to ask the question, and you need to ask the question, is Jesus enough? Like, is Jesus enough? If my eyes are focused on the things of this world, and I hear this message of the gospel that it's good news that God will save me and I have eternal life, but there's no promise for the things I want in this world. There's no promise that I'm going to be delivered from difficulty in this world. If my eyes are really just focused on this world, then I go, man, I don't know if Jesus is enough. But if my focus is beyond this world, if my heart's not attached to this world, and I understand that it's all temporary and it's all passing away, then when I ask the question, is Jesus enough? Maybe the answer is he's more than enough. See, he promises to meet all my needs, but he doesn't promise to meet all my wants and desires. Is that really good news? Well, it is if I realize that all the stuff that I want, all the stuff that I desire, here's the one thing we all have to remember, one absolute truth that you have to remember. Everything you want, everything you desire, everything you accumulate, everything your heart gets attached to this side of heaven will one day be gone. It will one day be gone. There's no shadow of a doubt in that, no matter how far science comes, no matter if they can transplant heads or whatever they try to do, we're all going to die, right? And so why not begin to think with a more kingdom mindset, like what is beyond this? The scripture tells us over and over, this world is not our home. Our time here is just a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. We shouldn't focus just on this world, but on God's kingdom. Now, he gives us the things of this world to enjoy. But we enjoy them, and we hold them with an open hand, and we bless others with them. So look at verses 10 to 12. Paul continues on, speaking to Timothy. He says, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the good news. That's why I'm suffering here in prison. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. All right, we got to understand this. He's made all of this plain by the appearing of Christ. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality. Even though in this world it looks like we're losing sometimes as Christians, Scripture's real clear. We're the victors. I'm actually the victor, but we're the victors. You know what I mean? We're like, we win, okay? We win. Okay? That's the end of the story. We win. Paul's in prison. Paul's beaten with rods. Paul's left for dead. He's stoned. But we win, and he wins, and he knows that, all right? Because you can have everything here on earth, and it can go your way, and no matter what you accumulate, we can be 100% sure that one day it'll be gone. And Paul seems to get this, and he realizes everything is temporary. The good stuff, all temporary. The bad stuff, all temporary. Suffering, struggle, all temporary. But the one we put our faith in, he's broken the power of death, and he shows us the way to eternal life. Look at verse 12. This is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it. Now, this is the part I want to make sure we get. For I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. He's okay with suffering. He's not ashamed at being in prison because he realizes the sacrifices he makes here on earth are storing up treasure in heaven. So he's not storing up stuff here on earth. He's storing up this treasure in heaven. And he says, the one who I'm entrusting to it up there, he's able to guard it until the end. Like, I'm storing up stuff that can't be stolen. It reminds me of the story of Jim Elliot. I don't have time to tell more of it, but he was a missionary who, along with four other missionaries, was martyred as they were trying to reach the Huarani people of Ecuador. And they were killed. And he said this. It's a famous quote of him before that. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Just think about that. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep. There's nothing here that we can keep to gain what he cannot lose. See, he was willing to give it all for the kingdom, and ultimately he did. I mean, he didn't know what was going to happen when he said that. I mean, he ended up giving his life to reach these, some would say, savages. And of course, this echoes the words of Jesus, Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Levi, if you guys will come on up. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So I want to ask you the question. Where's your heart this morning? Is it set on the things of this world? Or is it set on the things of heaven? If it's set on the things of this world, I can guarantee it's ultimately going to bring disappointment. If it's set on heavenly things and the truth of eternal life, then we'll look at the world differently. We'll look at people differently. We'll look at life as something to be enjoyed, but also to, like I said, everything to be held with an open hand, to be a blessing to others, because it's not about just the here and now, because this is all passing away. It's about the eternity that Jesus came and died and rose to secure for us. And it's really about whether or not we believe that, you know, because we say we believe it and we come to church and we'll sing songs saying we believe it, and then we live our lives like, I don't know if I really believe that. So I'm going to get every little bit I can here, and I'm going to make sure that I enjoy every bit I can, no matter what. Even if it distracts me from the kingdom and doing things for the Lord, I'm going to focus on the here and now, because I only got one life to live, right? The message of the gospel is, you got one life to live, but it never ends, right? So don't feel like you got to get it all here. Paul goes, man, you feel like you got to get it all here? Just remember, there's all kinds of people who are going to rip you off. Time's going to rip you off because ultimately you're going to get old and you're going to die. People will rip you off because they may hurt you, they may take your stuff, and if it's all about your stuff, you know, ultimately you're going to lose. But man, if your investment's over here, it's entrusted to the one who you can't lose on that investment. So store up this treasure in heaven. You can't lose. Look at how Paul finishes the passage in 2 Timothy and wrap up with this. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truth that's been entrusted to you. Hold on to the truth that you've learned, the truth that shaped your faith, the truth that leads you to Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives where? Within you, within us, right? Carefully guard the precious truth that's been entrusted to you. We're to guard the truth of the gospel carefully. Guard it. So here's the thing. The good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, the good news you should be sharing with people around you, whoever will listen, if you know that good news, it's that God loved you, not because you were good, not because you deserved it, because that's how God is, that he is love. And he extended his grace to you. So don't let that, he says, guard that truth. Guard the truth of the gospel. Don't let it be tainted by religion. Don't add to it. God doesn't love you if you do this or if you don't do that. God loves you. Amen. Don't let the world tell you that God isn't good just because you're going through something or they know someone who's gone through something. Because they're suffering. The reality is this world's not our home. God is good. And don't listen to people who try to turn Jesus into some errand boy who's going to do everything you want. He's like your genie in a little, you know, the gold lamp, and you just rub it a few times and do it the right way and say the prayer the right way, and God's going to give you what you want. No, he says, guard the true gospel. That's not the true gospel. The true gospel is God loves you, and this world's not the end, and he's got an eternity that's in store for all of us who believe. And there might be struggling. There will be struggling this side of heaven. There will be suffering. There will be heartache. But God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you through the whole thing. He's with you. He lives in you. And he'll manifest his presence if you just believe. If you would, let's stand. I want to pray for us and sing the song. If there is communion off to either side, if you feel like it's a time to just share a moment of communion. And I just want to pray that God, again, opens our eyes to the reality of who he is in this world, the temporary nature of the world we live in, but yet the people he's put around us that he wants us to reach. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this truth that you live in us. And God, as much as you bless us with so much, God, help us to not allow our hearts to get caught up there. God, help us to not set our hearts on the things of this world, the things that will only disappoint us. God, help us to set our minds and our hearts on heaven, God, on eternity. Help us to see the people around us, God, the way you see them, with love. And those who are lost, even those who are hostile to this message, God, you died for them and you want to reach them and you may just want to use us. And so help us to be open to that. Wake us up to those moments, God. Help us to guard that truth that we wouldn't allow our culture, or maybe ways that we've been taught to taint that, Lord. The pure gospel that you came, that you died, that you love this world. And you call us to make disciples. And your message is simple. It's now follow me. God, may we be people who follow you, led by your spirit, our hearts changed by your spirit, following you, letting go of the things of this world, and holding on to you and your truth. God, your glory goes so far beyond this world. Help us to see that. Help us to remember why the blood of Jesus was shed, that we might have life, have it to the full, and have it for eternity. Just take a moment and sit before the Lord, maybe as we sing this song. And if you want to share communion, it's off to either side. But let this be your prayer. And ask God to help you to let go of the things of this world and to hold on to him. Jesus, you are good. Remind us of that. It's only you, by your blood, that makes us whole again. And God, there's so many people out there who aren't whole. There's so many people who are broken and in their sin, and Lord, desperately in need of knowing you. God, just remind us of that. Open our hearts to that. God, I know the thought that this world is only temporary. For some of us, it's just we don't even want to go there in our minds, Lord. But it's the truth. There's so much more to live for than just the stuff of earth. Help us to love people. Let it start with our family. Let it start in our marriages. Let it start with our children, to love them to you. Just think about hearing from that one guy who talked about his son being a prodigal and being off and away from you, Lord. And the one thing he said is, I raised him in church, but I didn't raise him in Jesus. God, help us to share Jesus, not religion, not rules, not regulations. But in order to do that, we need to know Jesus. God, help us to grow in our relationship with you. Fill us with your Spirit, God. Wake us up. May it all be for your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. If any of you need prayer for anything, I'd be up here. I'd love to pray with you or talk to you about anything that's going on in life. But as you go, may the Spirit of the Lord lead you, fill you, and use you as you leave this place. God bless you. Peace be with you. We'll see you soon. We need to pick the chairs up in here. If anybody would be willing to help, we need to stack these chairs in stacks of 7 or 8. So if anybody willing to help out, stack these chairs so we can move them and clean the floor this week, that would be a real blessing. So if you would, if you're just hanging out, chatting for a while, stack a few chairs around you. Thank you. That'd be a real blessing to us.